Archdiocese of New Zealand of the Ecumenical Patriarchate presents In the Narthex with Father Paul Patitsis. Join him as he shares with us the ancient apostolic faith of the Christian Greek Orthodox Church. And now your host, Father Paul.
Welcome to In the Narthex, a radio program of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand. I'm your host, Father Pavlos Patitsis of the Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church. Unfortunately, Presbytera, the beautiful voice behind the red microphone, isn't here to be with us today and to direct so much of what happens in her unseen way, but we're going to do our best and soldier on, as they say here in New Zealand, and do our best to offer you a beautiful program. And that being said, let's start with a beautiful song from the monks of Simono Petra Monastery. For the Orthodox Christian of today. Most of us have heard it. And it's a tune written for a hymn that was authored by St. Nectarius. I believe the tune itself was composed by the monks of Simono Petra Monastery, and it's the tune you're hearing. Listen to that song all day, but it's such a beautiful and peaceful song, and it's been translated into so many languages now in the Orthodox world, not only the large ones like Slavonic and of course Serbian language and Romanian, but also into some other languages like Swahili and Spanish, and languages you might not think of when you think of Orthodox Christianity. And Orthodox Christianity, of course, is, as you know, hopefully by now, if you listen to this radio program over the 6 years, it's all over the world. Today, we're going to try to refocus ourselves on the beautiful task of reading the Psalms of Ascent. The Psalms of Ascent, it's sometimes translated the Psalms of Ascent, which takes us up to Jerusalem. We read Psalm 119 and 120 in your Bibles. If you have the King James Version source text, it would be 120 and 121. Different way of numbering the same Psalms, of course. And we're going to return to that. But before we do, I thought we should open a book of St. Tikhon of Zadansk, who we've read to you from this radio microphone before. And it talks about the love of sacred scripture and how we should think upon it. And this is chapter 5 of this beautiful book called Journey to Heaven. Love the word of God, that is the scriptures, handed down to us by the prophets and apostles, as God himself. For the word of God is the word of God's mouth. If you love God, then without fail you will love the word of God also. For the word of God is God's epistle or letter to us unworthy ones, and is his supreme gift to us for the sake of our salvation. If you love the sender, then also love the letter, which is sent from him to you. For the word of God is given by God to me, to you, and to everyone, so that everyone who desires to be saved may receive salvation through it. You love it when an earthly king writes you a letter, and you read it with love and joy. How much more must we read the letter of the heavenly king with love and joy? Now, these are simple enough words, and you might say, well, that's too simplistic for me. But actually, they're very, very profound words, because do we forget that God, in love, authored those words to us through his prophets and ministers, so that every word has a precious value? I was thinking, and I think we should often think about our Jewish brethren and how much they reverence the words of the Old Testament. Certainly you may have heard of the word phylactery. It's a Greek word, actually. Phylacto means something that's protected, or a talisman, sometimes we translate it. But they would take a verse from Scripture and write it carefully by hand on a parchment, and then roll that little verse into a small coil of parchment, and then they would place that parchment inside a leather box that they would attach then as a headband around their heads. The men would do this. I don't think that women did this, but the men. And they would have then God's word on their forehead in a box. Just think about that. Now, how could you not think about God's word when it's written on your forehead, essentially? What a beautiful image. And then they would take also, this is also important, how do they treat the Torah when they come into their house of worship? They have a beautiful container which contains the Torah, and the Torah is kept in that sacred container, and then when it comes time to read it, the container is brought out and opened with ceremony. And if I am correct, I think there's even a curtain that covers the area where the container is kept, and the curtain is drawn back, the container is drawn out, it's opened carefully, the scrolls are taken out, and then the rabbi or whoever is the celebrant of the service will open to the appropriate passage of the Torah and read aloud those words. And you see with what great reverence they treat the scripture. Now, those are our Jewish brothers. We are from them, the Christians. And we, who are Christians, would do well to imitate them. And this is exactly what we do in the Orthodox Church. And I'm sure in the Roman Catholic Church and in the High Church, Anglican, and other churches that are keeping the very ancient traditions. When we go to read the scripture, we don't just plop open a book and throw it on a stand of some sort so we can read it, nor do we just project images of it onto the screen somewhere. But instead, the scripture is kept in a very sacred place, within a sacred container. The container is brought out, usually with candles. The container is opened. The scriptures are opened up for us in the form of a book, not a scroll. And then the priest, with his head uncovered, begins to read the scripture out loud. And all the people stand for the hearing of the scripture. Their heads are bowed in prayer, perhaps, but they stand at attention, listening to every word, as if God himself is speaking. I am a traditionalist, I guess you could say. I don't mean to offend anyone by saying sometimes the things that I say that are traditional in nature, just that I don't understand how someone can hear the scripture, the word of God, and sit down or lay down. When God is speaking, wouldn't we rise up? So this beautiful word of St. Tikhon says, if you got a letter from a king, wouldn't you be happy? And certainly you would read it as if the king were in the room, and you would stand. He doesn't say that. I'm saying that. And I think the same thing when we read the scripture, we should read it with great attention. Now, of course, sometimes in our homes we put it on a table, we read it from a table. But even if we're reading it from a table, we're sitting down to read it with the attention as if God is in front of us, God is before us, God is speaking to us. So that being said, that's just a little introduction as we prepare ourselves now to hear the Psalms. But before we do that, let's share with you another song. Line, His grace gives me fear, but His grace draws me near, and all that it asks, it provides. Wonderful. That's how it is with God. Yes, there's a fear. When we read the scripture, there's a fear, but it draws us near. It's a fear that doesn't put us off, doesn't chase us away, but it elevates us to a place that we've never been before. I don't think there's an analogy appropriate that I could give you, but I certainly, if I ever get to go to the top of a very tall building, and not just in the safe environment of the enclosed barriers of the walls, but if I were to stand on top of the building and the air blowing around me, holding on for dear life to some antenna tower or something, I would be tremendous fear to be that high up. And yet, if there was something higher than me, calling me higher, that was sweet and kind and gentle, the fear would be appropriate, of course, but maybe I would put aside that fear and want to go even higher so I could be near that thing that is that person calling me forward. So let's now open our Bibles to Psalm 122 if you have most Western Bibles, but the Septuagint numbering is Psalm 121. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." We could stop there if you want. Shouldn't we be glad to go to church? Shouldn't we be glad? Why does it seem like such a burden to us? Why do we resent it? Why do we get uncomfortable about it? Why do we grumble? Maybe we're listening to the wrong voices in our head. I was glad, the Bible says, I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." What a beautiful thing to be in the house of the Lord, to be with the Lord, to be close to the Lord, to hear his voice. Anyway, he continues, "Our feet stand in your courts, O Jerusalem." Jerusalem is built as a city whose compactness is complete. There the tribes went up, the tribes of the Lord, a testimony to Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. And of course, we think of the 12 tribes, but in the book of Revelations, we think of the 12 elders from the old, representing the old, and the 12 elders representing the new testament. So there are 24 elders. And we think about ourselves as part of the tribes of Israel, of course, all those who worship the true God. And we stand in that court and we give thanks to the name of the Lord. Why should we give thanks to him? What's there to thank? But if we just give a little bit of thought and a little bit of humility, add a little humility to our thought, we'll start to realize the many multitude of things. There's such a huge multitude, we can't even begin to number them, of things for which we should be thankful. And some of them we will never know to appreciate until either we become the highest type of scientist, or we pass from the veil of this life into the life to come. How can we thank God, for instance, for the workings of the mitochondria in our body? You might say, well, what's a mitochondria? But if you know about mitochondria, you'll say, they're fantastical things. They act as if they have their own brain within your body. It's like a body with a little organism within your body, but it's not. It's part of every soul, of every cell of our body. And they operate continuously, autonomously, it seems. And they perform tasks that allow us to digest our food and to incorporate its proteins and amino acids and so forth into things that drive our body and give it power and energy. I don't know a lot about amino acids and the mitochondria, but I know a little girl whose name was Alexandra, who had mitochondrial disease, and she couldn't live. She couldn't live. Her body was completely formed perfectly. There was nothing wrong with her at all in the exterior and to the eye, but within her cells, the mitochondria weren't doing their job, and she couldn't live. But by God's miracle, she lived 9 months longer than they said she could live. And she was an angel, and she touched many people in our lives. And I think of her often and ask for her prayers. I'm sure she's a saint in heaven now. So, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For thrones sat there for judgment, thrones over the house of David. And, of course, what are we going to be judged for? One of the things is whether or not we're thankful. Can you imagine God gives us so many wonderful things besides our health? Just look around you, open your eyes, and if we aren't thankful, how ungrateful is that? There's reason to be judged for that. Ask now for things regarding the peace of Jerusalem, for there is prosperity for those who love you. Now, of course, there is a Jerusalem, a city, and there's also the New Jerusalem, which the church would say is the church itself. And for those who love the prosperity of the church, there is so much blessing. For there is prosperity for those who love you, who love Jerusalem. We will prosper when we love the church, when we consider ourselves blessed by its existence, and we are. Let there now be peace in your power and prosperity in your citadels, for the sake of my brothers and my neighbors. I indeed spoke peace concerning you. So when we do what we're doing right now, giving this message to you on the internet or in the radio as you're hearing it, you might say, Father Paul's speaking to us peace. He's telling us peace. Why is he doing that? Because he cares about us, who are our brothers, his brothers, and his neighbors. And he wishes prosperity on us. I'm just one little person. I'm reading from the Bible. Anybody can read this. But hopefully you know that it's a personal concern of me to you and of every Christian, hopefully, to every other person in the world, that we could know the peace which passes understanding, which comes in and through Christ. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I sought good things for you. Within me, bless his holy name, that beautiful, beautiful hymn which we're listening to, sung by a group called Incense, but actually they spelled N-C-E-N-S-E, and a little asterisk before the N, Incense, and from their album, Every Good and Perfect Gift. So we have read one psalm, Psalm 121, and I want to read to you now Psalm 122. We're running out of time, and so I'm not going to go into as much depth with this one. I lift up my eyes to you who dwell in heaven. Behold, as the eyes of the servant look to the hands of their masters, as the eyes of the maidservant look to the hands of her mistress, so their eyes look to the Lord our God, until he shall have compassion on us. So there we need to understand that a person who is a servant or a maidservant in this context is someone who loves the master. He is blessed by the master. So we can't think of it in terms of slavery. That's not the idea. But a relationship of love, you know, like a maybe somebody who works for a king, you know. They might think, oh, it's great to work for the king. I like it. If you love the king, then it's a blessing. But when you look to the, since we're the servant, though, we watch the hands of the master. What does the master need? Let me meet his needs. Let me be there first. Or a maidservant or a mistress, what does she need? What is she reaching for? Maybe I can get it for her. Maybe I can make her life a little easier. And so we should look to the Lord in that same way, expecting and anticipating what he might be asking of us. Try and anticipate it. there's a Greek word which I'd like you to know. It's called hypakoui. We often translate that word as obedience. But I wish there was another translation, because I don't think that explains it very well. Hypakou means to hear the things that haven't even been spoken. Hypo means under, akou to hear. To hear the unspoken things. And you can only do that when you love someone. Because you anticipate their needs, you anticipate their thoughts, you care about them, you want to see them happy. And we do it for our children all the time, especially when they're little. We look and say, oh, if we don't wipe him pretty soon, he's going to get that beret from his mouth onto the shirt and from the shirt onto the floor, or whatever it is that they're eating. Or maybe clean their hands before they touch their faces, because we know that it'll get all over their face, or some other thing. But we don't worry about it. We don't labor over it. We just do it in love. We're servants to our children, especially when they're young, and we care about them, so we anticipate their needs. And imagine that we're servants of the Lord, and we anticipate whatever he might need. And what does he need? He needs us, of course, to be loving, to be forgiving, to be patient, to be kind, to be long-suffering. So much more to say today, and not enough time to say it. So let's try to just finish at least this psalm. Have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy on us, for we are greatly filled with contempt. Our soul is greatly filled with it. We are a disgrace to those who prosper and a contempt to the arrogant. When he says we're filled with contempt, many people hate us, in other words. But who hates us? Those who are arrogant and those who prosper. So he's saying, look, some people, they don't like that we've chosen the humble path. They don't like that we've chosen the path of the Lord. They're angry at us for that. Well, let them be angry, because you'll have the joy of the Lord. Let them be angry. You can have all the wealth of the world, but it doesn't guarantee you happiness. But you can be poor, and if you have the Lord, I guarantee you, you'll be happy. Well, we've come to the end of our program today, and so we're going to conclude with another little song, this one from the Nuns of Ormelia. And hopefully you enjoy their chanting. And to remind you, as always, that this is a program of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand, whose Archshepherd is His Eminence Archbishop Miron, headquartered in Wellington. And this ministry is a ministry of love of this Archdiocese toward you, our beloved radio listeners. We wish you a great week and many blessings, and happy St. Athanasius Day, and St. Cyril Day to all those named those names, and St. Theoluli today. If you have time to read the life of St. Theoluli, I recommend it to you. Have a beautiful week.